From Podcast Detroit Studios in the heart of the Motor City, it's time for your source for Blue Collar Talk, the ARC Junkies podcast. Here's your host, Jimmy McKnight.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 31 of ARC Junkies. I'm your host, Jimmy McKnight, and I am joined in studio by none other than Aaron Beefer of Bulldog Welding. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. Also on the ARC Junkie lines, you know him, you love him, Mr. Scott Robbie. How you doing, sir?
Doing good.
Good,
what
good. Good. Thank you guys for joining me. Today is a big day because we are reviewing the ESAB Sentinel A50 welding hood. This hood has been taking the welding hood market by storm, in my opinion. Everybody at least knows what it looks like. Those that have used it love it for the most part. We did take some user polls, which are seriously funny. And I want to kind of get your opinion, though, Scott, because I know you've got, two or three of these hoods. One is actually super famous because of the paint job. But you've also posted numerous times about it, saying about how comfortable it is and how much you like it. So I want to know, you know, now that I'm talking to you, what are the things that you really like about the ESAB A50 Sentinel?
Well, one thing that I like about it is once you strike that arc, the puddle is just very vibrant. Mm-hmm. Now you can really see that puddle flow side to side, you know, see if you're undercutting, see if you need to add more filler. It just seems to bring it more in HD. That's one big quality I love about it. Then you have the headgear. It has four different spots, I believe. Two in front, two in back. And with that, they have it pinpointed so well that you can't even feel it on your head. Like, there's days that I'm supposed to be wearing hard hats throughout the shop, and I'll be wearing my hood all day, and I have to get told by the supervisor that I'm wearing it. So I have to go back and switch to my hard hat. Then I love the grind button on the side. I use that all day. So far, from what I've seen, not many hoods have that right on the side. That it's just easy accessible. Most of the time, you have to reach in the hood and then press it or change the dial over. It's just more of a conveniency right there.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as far as the convenience factor of it. I really like the quick change lens. I mean, there's not really anything to it, man. It's one button, pull it off, slap the new one on, and you're done, versus having to pull off like an outer ring and then pop it out and get everything back lined up again. You know, it's very, very easy. And the true color view is something that I really have to say, you know, I've started experimenting with, because I've been TIG welding aluminum pretty much only with it for a long time. And then I just happened to run some stick with it, and I could see like the true color really show at that point, because everything has kind of like a blue tint to it when you're actually using it. But when you start stick welding, you can see the arc. I mean, it's just vibrant orange, and it's so cool, because we're so used to seeing everything either, you know, an all green shade, but through this, you could really see different colors, you know. And I'm like, wow, yeah. That's the first time I ever saw something like that. It was pretty amazing to me, man.
It definitely gives you a different view of the weld. Something, you know, just a little bit more vibe. Like, I've used nothing against them. Great company, great brand. But the Sentinel seems to have them on how vibrant that that view is. Just how that puddle reacts. Just being able to see how it goes side to side and just watch it melt into the metal properly. Mm-hmm. And make sure that you're not undercutting or anything. You honestly can't beat it.
We're going to get into some of these because I made a post. I'm going to see here. When did I make this post? I made this post a week ago. Just kind of, you know, get people on Instagram's thoughts on the A50, because I wanted it to be very unbiased review. I mean, I own one and I love it. Yes. But, you know, the show is also sponsored by ESAB. So, you know, I really think it's awesome. But I wanted to get people who, you know, don't have any, who ESAB has no, you know, ties to get their opinion on this. So we're going to get into a segment right now of all about people's comments. All right, so getting into some of these comments, man. Some of these are really good. Some of them are kind of explicit, so we're going to do our best to edit them out and make this family-friendly. The first one coming off is Welder McWelderson, who says he loves his one bad 80 Marrow, just ordered one. Brian Welds, I love it. Only issue, which can be remedied with the Sentinel A50 Air, is the condensation buildup. That was one thing I've heard some people say is they were a little, you know, they noticed that dust and stuff tend to get behind that the actual lens itself. And we're hoping for like a gasket maybe in the future on other things. What about you, Scott? Have you had an issue with dust getting behind there at all?
No dust, but the condensation. I've had some problems with that, but just a quick wipe and it's back to normal. No problem right after that.
Yeah.
Just right at the start of the day.
Yep. That's true. I've had a little bit myself, man, but nothing that seemed to really get into the way. And you're right. One wipe, it's gone. So we're gonna get into the first opposite review because so far it's been all great about this hood. This guy, Bomb Squad Performance on Instagram, says it's garbage. $150 value tops. And then it's followed immediately by this guy named Death Barrow, who says, dude, yes, effing hype. Can't see S out of that turd. Who the F wants a goddamn $300 hood? And he spelled hunted, H-U-N-N-I-D. He says, who wants a $300 hood that you can also grind in? WTF. So before we really get into this, I just want to say for one thing, if you're writing a review about a product and you intentionally go out of your way to spell the denomination of 100 wrong to make yourself sound cool, you immediately take away all credibility you have for a reviewer, period, because you can't even spell correctly, let alone enunciate. So your hunted is out the door for me. I'm sorry. And to answer your question, who wants a $300 hood that you can grind in? Do you want to pay $300 and have that not be an option?
I don't want to have to swap out hoods.
I don't want to have to swap out hoods either. And I love the fact that you can just hit the button on the outside and it's done. You know, I love that aspect of it. Scott, what would your rebuttal be?
Industry standard now.
Right, it is.
Most companies will want you to have double eye protection. Why would you want to switch to a different hood, put on another hood, flip it down, start grinding, flip, take it off, do it again? You know, it just the convenience of it.
Again, all it is the only real issue that I'm finding with all of these comments, you know, some of them, it's either all just they love it, or it's the fact that, you know, they have to remove the lens to get the dust or condensation out. That really seems to be the only issue with this hood so far. But, you know, you brought up the 5-point halo head harness, Scott, the outside grind button, the easy change, quick release lens cover. All that stuff is excellent selling features. Now, is there anything that you've noticed that has been an issue outside of the condensation? Anything else as far as, like, you know, maybe the sensors shut off on you or maybe, you know, I mean, anything. Is there anything that you could put on the negative side of your review for this hood?
There was a negative point that I found. It was when I was welding at low amps, around 40 amps.
Mm-hmm.
It started flashing me on and off, but I realized I had my sensitivity down, I think, to 3 or 4, and I turned it right back up. I turned it all the way up to 9. Didn't have a problem after that. I had Aesop had this problem where all of a sudden their hoods would start flickering.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a big recall on a few of them that they had. It was just flicking on certain hoods, and they changed them out. No problem. If anyone had that problem, no questions asked. They sent out brand new ones. I even had one of my buddies, I recommended the hood to him. He called me 3 weeks later, said, hey, it's starting to do this. Talked to Aesop, had them send out a new hood the next day. Nope, he hasn't had problems with it since.
Yeah, that's another major point I can say about Aesop, man, is because even on this post that I made, anybody that had either a good review or a negative review, Aesop responded to them on this thread, every single one. And if it was negative, it was, you know, they made sure they tagged the person in the comment and how can we make this right? Can we send you another one? You know, they seem to be very responsive and they really listen to the customer, which is I really like about this company, man. This is one of the main selling features about the whole company. Moving on, go ahead.
Customer service is pretty much leading the industry right now. If you have shitty customer service, then you're pretty much dead. Your business isn't going to grow anymore. If you have great customer service, you know, and you respond to your customers, you're way above probably 80% of the other companies right now.
You know, you hit the nail on the head with that, man. I'm currently reading a book right now called The Thank You Economy by Gary Vaynerchuk. And he really brings that up about how, you know, companies are really starting to reach back to that, you know, old school business feel where it was like, you know, Bob the Butcher's in town and Bob the Butcher has to make sure he treats everybody good. Otherwise, they're going to go to Barry the Butcher because Bob the Butcher pissed him off because of his customer service. Regardless if he had better cuts of meat or not, Bob the Butcher is going to get the business because of the connection that he has with the people. And that's what ESOB is doing. They're making connections with the people. All right, moving on down the line onto some of these comments here. Mob Steel Adam makes an appearance from History Channel's Detroit Steel. Mob Steel says, best looking helmet. I've never used one, but I look at it every time I'm in the welding store. It's a very cool design. Heavy Metal Welder says, best clarity and most comfortable hood I've ever used. It's taken some serious abuse. Now, this is something that I can attest to because I've had my hood, I want to say probably 5 months maybe at this point, and I'm constantly crawling in and out of stuff at my job. I mean, I do a lot of egg crate construction type stuff. You know, I'm constantly climbing in and out of it, and I'm banging my head and banging the hood up quite a lot. And I'll post a picture of what my hood looks like now versus what one looks like coming straight out of the box after we get done here. And you can kind of see that even beating the living crap out of this hood, it doesn't make it look bad. It gives it character. It's kind of like Master Chief's hood from Halo, like when he's like kind of looks more battle damaged. It's like the best way I can describe it is it looks battle damaged now. It doesn't look bad, but it still gives it character. I think the rougher that you're actually using this too, but that's just my opinion.
It looks like a couple year old hood.
It does, yeah. Go ahead, Scott. Sorry.
Well, it's just like that airbrushed hood I have. I was afraid to use it to mess up all the paint on it. And I finally said, you know what? I didn't buy this hood and pay this money for the paint job to just let it sit on the shelf and be worried about it. So I started using it, and now it's getting a little scratches here and there. And it's actually giving it a nice little rougher look, you know, tattered flag look. I'm really digging it.
Right on, man. All right, Scott. Thank you so much, man. It's been an absolute pleasure having you back on the show. Before I let you go, please plug your Instagram where people can find you. And are you planning on coming to FabTech this year?
I believe so. I should be at FabTech. I got to talk to a few people, but I believe I should be at FabTech this year again. And find me on Instagram is my name, _Robbie. Pretty simple. Try not to complicate things.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Bob Moffitt will be joining us from Weld.com. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Arc Junkie Lines, joining us from Weld.com, Bob Moffitt himself. Bob, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you. We are doing a review on the Sentinel A50 welding hood by ESOB, and I've noticed that you've also used this hood quite a little bit, and I'm very interested of what you actually think of this hood, having used it before.
I like it. I like it a lot. It's very comfortable. It takes a little getting used to. First thing I noticed is, you know, and when you wear a lid that pops way up for like 30, 40 years, and then you get something like this, I won't call it a low rider. It's real close to your head all the time, and it takes a little bit to get used to. But man, I'll tell you what, you talk about comfortable and full vision. I like it a lot. I mean, I think they hit a home run with that product myself.
Oh, I do too. And like I brought it up earlier on the show. I've been, since I had mine, I was pretty much just TIG welding aluminum with it for the longest time. And we had to do a little bit of stick welding on the job. I started stick welding with it, and I saw for the first time, because I'm used to other hoods where it's all, you know, usually one color, one shade of green, or even on the cheaper hoods, a shade of orange. This, right. I could see two different colors. Like, I could see the blue that, you know, you kind of see when you look through the screen. But the actual arc, man, it was bright orange and yellow, and it was like, wow, the first time I saw like real color difference looking through a hood. It was mind-blowing.
You can see things happening in the hood, and the most important thing is to be able to see the edges of the weld.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing, that visual acuity, that how fast it is and how fast that you adjust your eyes as well. You know, I grew up using number 9 gold glass for the longest time, you know, and once you get acclimated to that, you know, that's what you like. It's just like brushing your teeth with your right hand all the time, and you switch to your left. Well, now that's uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get something different visually in front of you, it's like bang. And I tried a lot of different hoods. I'm not going to name any brand names or manufacturers or anything, but to me, they weren't fast enough. They wouldn't keep up. I mean, it's like when I strike an arc, I have to refocus or something. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, okay, I've got this in front of me, and it's like I just lost vision for a second. Now I got to refocus. And that to me was annoying. There's only been one other hood that I've tried that, you know, when you strike an arc, it comes back in super clear and it's right there and you just grab and go, man.
Let's talk a little bit about your recent trips to Vegas with Justin the Fabricator doing a TIG welding class. How did all that come about, and what was the how did you feel it all went?
Well, we started talking about doing a collaborative effort back in Chicago at FabTech, and we kind of communicated back and forth, and I think it was right toward the end of the year, right, New Year's Eve. We put together a little video thing. We said, let's do it. Let's try it, you know, because we get two teachers. You double the exposure, two different teaching styles. And so I flew out and we put together I call it boot camps because that's what I had back here at my college in the summertime last year. But we just called it a 4T effort, and that was tag team TIG teaching. don't ask me to say that real quick a bunch of times.
I'll get right, all, no problem,
all the slobber on the desk here. But yeah, we just kind of put it together, and I thought it went really well. You know, a lot of times I was on the camera, he was teaching, vice versa. So yeah, I thought it went really well.
Very cool, man. And you said you're getting ready to do another one, right? Like the response was so good, huh?
Another one. Yeah, I'm going to go back out. I'm going to go out on the night of the 29th, and we're going to teach the 30th, 31st. And I'm going to come back the 1st, and then I've got a young lady that's a teacher out in Washington State. She's going to come into the college here for some professional development. I'm going to help her with TIG welding processes on pipe and expose her to our NDT program. We have a full NDT program here at the college, so I'm going to let her get some exposure on some methods that we use here for X-ray and ultrasonics and that kind of stuff.
What college do you teach at?
Cowley College, Cowley. It's in South Central Kansas, about an hour south of Wichita.
What areas of weld do you teach? All process? Do you teach the NDT like you've mentioned? What is your role there? What do you teach?
I don't teach NDT. We have a full program here at the college in our career and tech ed program building that we have is automotive, machine tool welding, NDT, and mechatronics. So my portion is all the welding. My program is taught with all stick, MIG, TIG, pulse TIG, pulse MIG, flux core. We do everything except submerged arc. I do have a laser welder here in my classroom, so we do that as well. my program is laid out in both structural and piping, all to code quality.
Very cool.
It's a 2-year program. We offer a college certificate of 49 credit hours, which includes OSHA 10, and we offer an associate degree, 64 credit hours.
That's pretty amazing. You have access to a laser welder in there, because that's something that, at least in my experience, you always had to find somebody that knew how to run it to teach you. And if you did want to learn it, there was a course. I found a course, I think, out in Wisconsin that had it. Outside of that, it was pretty far and few between. So that's awesome that you offer that.
Yeah, there's some areas of laser welding that are very interesting. I use it a lot in electronics repair, mm-hmm. and jewelry.
What laser source are you using, Bob?
I'm sorry?
What laser source are you using?
Yeah, it's a Laser Star is the brand.
All right. Yeah, I do laser welding for a day job.
The other area of training is dentures and dental work and stuff, and I obviously didn't want to go through that. Nickel cobalt inlays.
Yeah.
Although it probably pays pretty good.
So let's talk a little bit about weld.com and your role with that, because that's how I at least was exposed to your work and your content is through weld.com and the videos that you put out on YouTube. Where did all that kind of begin for you, and you know, what more or less pushed you towards the idea of getting involved with it and going on to YouTube?
Weld.com was created by an organization in Pennsylvania. And I had been a host since they started. I think one of my first pipe welds or my first video that I did was on a 5G pipe weld where we did TIG root, MIG filling cap, and that's kind of a procedure we do around here a lot of in prefab and boiler fabrication and stuff. And I did others throughout the years as kind of a guest appearance. And I think it was last summer or summer before, I was asked to take over the MIG Monday portion of it, which was sponsored by ESOB. And I had been doing quite a number of different videos in stick, TIG, flux core, oxyacetylene welding, brazing. And they asked me to just take over and run with the whole thing. And so I did. And trying to put out educational content that's relative to not only hobbyists, but fabricators, you know, relate it back to the stuff that we do every day is, try to get some code quality stuff. That's why we introduce some of our welds. We bend test and x-ray, and we've done dye penetrance. So we try to mix it up and do videos on a lot of different things that are interesting. Hopefully they're interesting and educational. Try to make it fun, you know.
So how do you come up with the topics for each video? Do you take viewer suggestions to kind of inspire what you're going to do,
yeah.
or do you kind of just come up with it as your own ideas?
Both. A lot of them are viewer suggestions, but obviously some of these guys come in with some impossible stuff. I mean,
yep.
there's some of these. I mean, I've had some requests, and I'm wondering who my crane operator is and how I'm going to situate myself 80 feet in the air looking through one eye in a mirror. And
exactly.
I mean, telling you, they come up with some impossible stuff. And the other ones that I get a kick out of were, can you do a video on such and such? I do this every day. Well, if you do it every day, then
you
why
make
do you
the
want
video.
Why? Why don't you shoot a video of it? come into my house. Let's come step up into my shop here and let's do one together.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's almost like when you start putting yourself out there to kind of, lend a hand or whatever have you to the educational side of this. It's like because you put yourself out there, it almost comes with the territory. You get, the people that want to challenge your knowledge and give you the impossible tasks and questions just to see if you'll get the right answer to make
you
look funny, you know?
That's fine. That's cool. Hey, I don't know it all. I don't claim to, I've done a lot over the years, and there's, as you get along in my years, you get a little old and fat and shaky and all that. And you don't perform as well as you used to. But again, I don't know it all. I've seen some cool stuff over the years. I can still do some cool stuff, I think. Anyway, I hope I can. But there's times you get me on camera, like
last Monday's video, I'm sure I prop my wrist up on a outside corner joint, and I get that just that little spot where your wrist is in a weird place, and you start shaking like a uncontrollably, you know.
Oh yeah,
the high speed shimmies. So I always make a joke out of it. I go, man, you look like you're getting pulled over by the law here. And, so you readjust, you go on. But, you know, there's a lot of the video requests are taken off comments and interest. And I get a lot of personal messages on Instagram and Facebook Messenger and emails. And the support has been really good and positive overall, I should say. I mean, there's some people that just flat out disagree with you, and that's fine as long as they do it respectfully.
Exactly.
The ones that come on, and recently I think I started World War III on this downhill pipe weld or downhill weld or something. And I mean, my God, I had unbelievable. The language and the hate attitudes was just, it's mind-boggling. There's so much hate, you know.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
It just, you just get tired of it. But when you got a guy that comes on and says absolutely no downhill welding anywhere, and I immediately think, man, I'm going to put a bunch of pipeliners out of work. You know, we better fire them all and dig up all these pipelines right around the United States and re-weld them uphill or something. Yeah, come on, guys.
Or blow their mind to let them know that there's an actual AWS certification for downhill welding.
Well, this guy, hey, believe it or not, this guy that was spouting all the language, and one of them, I should say, but I took him aside and got into it personally with him on a private scenario. I wasn't going to do it publicly.
Right.
I won't do that publicly in YouTube comments, and I won't do it on Facebook. I'll disagree with him a little bit, but it gets out of hand. I got to pull him aside. But this guy announced that he was AWS CWI, and man, he started calling people names, and I'm going, unreal.
Wow.
So I did a little rant at the front of one of my videos not too long ago on that downhill. I redid a downhill, and we x-rayed it and everything, and I said, you come on here and pull that stuff anymore, I'm just going to make you famous. I think I'll print all your comments and your profile stuff and send it right to AWS and make you famous. I'm sure they'll be real happy with how they're being represented.
Right. Exactly.
Not a threat. I mean, gee whiz. I mean, some of this got to, you know, we're trying to help each other and share some knowledge and some, you know, I mean, look at a lot of people's work. Gee whiz, you got a fantastic community out on social media that puts out really cool stuff.
Yep, you're right, man.
Why would you want to go on and dog a, you know, that's like going on, they put a beautiful picture out of a beautiful weld, and somebody goes on and dogs it, and then the fight starts, you know. It's
like, it always seems to be somebody with not so many years experience and something to prove that ends up being the people that usually talk like that, you know. Usually the guys that know what they're doing kind of hang back and let them just spout off, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they get a couple beers in them in there. I call them keyboard welders.
Yep, keyboard commandos.
Sofa CWIs. I've heard some good ones. Man, right there's on. There's some beauties out there. But, oh, you know, to get back to it, viewer comments. I try to answer a lot of people's questions. I field questions from all over the world. And some of these guys forget what time it is because my phone will blow up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They'll be from Europe asking me something. But, you know, a lot of it is viewer comments in that community that we have out there, people wanting to know something.
Right. Well, before we let you go, since you are an educator and such a source for inspiration for so many, what would be a word of advice that you could give somebody that's looking to get into the trade, or you know, somebody that's you know, maybe halfway through weld school and getting a little bit discouraged? What advice could you give the up and coming generation of welders?
My advice to up and coming generation, to people that want to get into the trades: keep an open mind. There's a lot of things that you can do with this knowledge and make money. This branches off into inspection, welding sales, product knowledge, media. there's you know, in being an actual welder fabricator, I think my big advice right now is, and what I've noticed with a lot of people is, they're like, their face is stuck to their phone. You got to get off the phone at some point in time. You got to, unless you're reading and looking up some research type stuff. Everybody depends on this phone for everything, and I don't think they're really reading the good books of background knowledge like the Jefferson's Welding Encyclopedia. And some of these procedure books that have been put out, that right there, those things are rock solid as far as general knowledge. And I say that because people will make comments or they'll ask me questions, and it's like, you know, I could have looked that up real quick.
Yep.
I could have gone out and looked that up, and I don't tell them that, but I mean, at some point in time I will. If they keep asking me really easy questions, you know, if they're curious about a process or they're stumped on something, I may know of a method, or I have other resources that I will point them toward. But the advice is study, read, and practice. You know, I have students and I have to remind them, you know, you need to drop the hood. You really need to drop the hood and practice this stuff. You're close. And so, you know, practice, ask questions, hang out with people, watch other people weld. If they're doing it right or if they're getting good results, see how they do it. Everybody welds different, you know? Everybody welds different. Yep. But the end result of that weld is pretty much essentially the same. How did we get to that point? What makes that happen? So, you know, the big thing is don't be scared of math and pay attention in school.
Rock solid, man. Thank you so very much, Bob. It was awesome to have you on the show, man. And I'm looking forward to actually meeting you in person at this year's FabTech in Atlanta.
That would be great. Yeah, anytime. If you're traveling the U.S. and you drop down through this way, give me a shout before you get here. We'll meet somewhere, Wichita or Oklahoma City, Tulsa. I'm around that area. Or if I'm traveling up in your area. Now, where are you located again?
We're in Detroit.
Ooh, okay.
Well, you ever come up here, man? You, like I said, you let me know. We'll take you out for a night out of town and show you a good time, man. Absolutely.
Appreciate it. That would be great. That'd be great. I'd love to meet you sometime.
Sounds great, man. All right, Bob. Thank you so very much for calling in, and it was a pleasure having you on, man. Take care. That was awesome, man. Bob Moffitt, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron. Thank you for coming and hanging out with me, man. It was, I know we didn't really get to chat, but before we get to the end of the show, I mean, what's been going on with you? How's things with Bulldog Welding? And you got a new dog?
Got a new dog.
Puppy. Yeah, another new mascot. Yeah, what's his name?
Ben.
Ben? Yeah, that's awesome. I remember meeting him, dude. He's so cute. Yeah. Cool, too, man. So what's going on with Bulldog Welding? Any cool new projects? Any new equipment? Anything going on?
I got a new RoboVent fume extractor. It hooks right on the MIG gun.
Yeah.
Oh,
you got that one?
Yeah.
I saw that at FabTech, man.
I just did a post the other day, a video with it, without it. It's unreal, the difference.
Oh, I know. I remember watching that in person. And the thing that was so cool to me about it is that, I mean, you're not taking away any of your gas coverage at all. Like, it literally, like, the fumes come out and it gets sucked right up and gone.
I remember
seeing they took the hose off of the actual system and you see all the smoke go up, plug it back in, and it's gone. That's the future right there, man. That's how you don't get lung cancer.
Exactly. I haven't ran into any gas coverage issues with it at all. It's spot on. They did the research.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to episode 31 of Arc Junkies. Remember, you can email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. Aaron, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
Studio. Please go ahead, plug your social media where people can find you.
Bulldog Welding on Instagram, and same on Facebook and Twitter.
This episode is brought to you by WeldDevils.com, and this show is officially sponsored by ESAB Welding and Cutting Products, with over 100 years of excellent service in the industry. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jimmy McKnight, and this is Arc Junkies. See you later.